ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 25. Chapter 25 is entitled The Glories of Devotional Service, and today we are on Text 11. Tvam tvagata ham sharanam sharanyam.
Tvam tvagata ham sharanam
sharanyam. Tvam tvagata ham sharanam sharanyam. Svabhritya samsara taro kutharam. Svabhritya samsara taro kutharam. Jigyasayatham prakrite purushasya. Jigyasayaham prakrite purushasya. Namami Saddharma Vidam Varishtham. Namami Saddharma Vidam Varishtham. Tam Tvagataham Sharanam Sharanyam. Svabhritya Samsara Taro Kutharam. Jigyasayaham prakrite purushasya. Namami saddharma vidam varishtham. Tam tvagataham sharanam sharanyam. Svabhritya samsara taro kutharam. Jigyasayaham prakrite purushasya. Namami saddharma vidam varishtham. Tam, that person. Tva, unto you. Tva, unto you. Gata, have gone. Aham, I. Sharanam, shelter. Sharanyam, worth taking shelter of. Svabhritya, for your dependence. Samsara, of material existence. Taro, of the tree. Kutharam, the axe. Jigyasaya, with the desire to know. Aham, I. Prakrite, of matter, woman. Purushasya, of spirit, man. Namami, I offer obeisances. Saddharma, of the eternal occupation. Vidam, of the knowers. Varishtham, unto the greatest. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Devahuti continued, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet because you are the only person of whom to take shelter. You are the axe which can cut the tree of material existence. I therefore offer my obeisances unto you, who are the greatest of all transcendentalists, and I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. Purport. Sankhya philosophy, as is well known, deals with Prakriti and Purusha. Purusha is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or anyone who imitates the Supreme Personality of Godhead as an enjoyer. And Prakriti means nature. In this material world, material nature is being exploited by the Purusha, or the living entities. The intricacies in the material world of the relationship of the Prakriti and Purusha, or the enjoyed and enjoyer, is called samsara, or material entanglement. Devahuti wanted to cut the tree of material entanglement, and she found the suitable weapon in Kapila Muni. The tree of material existence is explained in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as an Ashwattha tree, whose root is upwards and whose branches are downwards. It is recommended here that one has to cut the root of this material existential tree with the axe of detachment. What is the attachment? The attachment involves Prakriti and Purusha. The living entities are trying to lord it over material nature. Since the conditioned soul takes material nature to be the object of his enjoyment, and he takes the position of the enjoyer, he is therefore called Purusha. Devahuti questioned Kapila Muni, for she knew that only he could cut her attachment to the material world. The living entities, in the guises of men and women, are trying to enjoy the material energy. Therefore, in one sense, everyone is Purusha, because Purusha means enjoyer and Prakriti means enjoyed. In this material world, both the so-called man and so-called woman are imitating the real Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is actually the enjoyer in the transcendental sense, whereas all others are Prakriti. The living entities are considered Prakriti. In Bhagavad Gita, matter is analyzed as apara or inferior nature, whereas beyond this inferior nature, there is another superior nature, the living entities. Living entities are also Prakriti or enjoyed, but under the spell of Maya, the living entities are falsely trying to take the position of enjoyers. That is the cause of samsara bandha or conditional life. Devahuti wanted to get out of this conditional life and place herself in full surrender. The Lord is Sharanya, which means the only worthy personality to whom one can fully surrender, because he is full of all opulences. If anyone actually wants relief, the best course is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is also described here as Saddharma Vidam Varishtham. This indicates that of all transcendental occupations, the best occupation is eternal loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dharma is sometimes translated as religion, but that is not exactly the meaning. Dharma actually means that which one cannot give up, that which is inseparable from oneself. The warmth of fire is inseparable from fire. Therefore, warmth is called dharma or nature of fire. Similarly, sat-dharma means eternal occupation. That eternal occupation is engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The purpose of Kapila Dev's Sankhya philosophy is to propagate pure, uncontaminated devotional service, and therefore he is addressed here as the most important personality among those who know the transcendental occupation of the living entity. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalita Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Nami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So today we are on verse 11 of this chapter called The Glories of Devotional Service. This is the last verse which Devahuti is speaking, and from the next verse, from the few verses down, Kapila Muni will start speaking. He will start answering Devahuti's questions. So Devahuti in this chapter actually started speaking in verse 7. And in verse 7, she is saying that she has realized actually that her son is not a mundane jiva. Like, you know, mothers usually consider that they have to give guidance to their son. That is what normally mothers do. They want to guide their son. They want to make their son become a good human being. They want to give the right values and the right culture to their son. And they want to make their sons, devotee mothers want to make their son devotee children. So in this case, Devahuti is realizing that my son is not a mundane jiva whom I have to actually train or whom I have to give culture to. She has realized that her son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is said that she realized what Lord Brahma had told her. Lord Brahma had told her that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will take shelter in your womb and he will appear as your son. So she realized that, and she is now realizing that since I have this big opportunity to inquire from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, she is actually giving up that mundane relationship of mother and son. And she is actually sitting down and inquiring from her own son. So since she herself was a very realized person, she is not letting go of this opportunity. She knows how to derive the benefit of being in the association of a saintly person. What are the right things to ask from a saintly person, and what to speak if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting in front of you. So in verse 7, she is lamenting about her pitiable condition of being attached to her senses. And this is Devahuti speaking, who is such a self-realized person already, but she is lamenting about her pitiable condition. She is telling in verse 7 that, O Lord Kapila, I am so attached to my senses, and because of being overly attached to my senses, I am in an abyss of ignorance. So you please help me. So in verse 7, she starts lamenting about her pitiable condition. In verse 8 and 9, she is then glorifying the supreme position of Lord Kapila Dev. And she is saying that how it is the Lord who can help her dissipate the ignorance which she is in because of being entangled in sense enjoyment. In verse 10, which was yesterday's verse, she is again concerned how, due to her false ego, she has been identifying with this material world, and she is in Maya because of that. And because she has been identifying with this material world, she is trapped in bodily illusion and relationships because of the bodily illusion. So in verse 10, yesterday's verse, she was mentioning that condition of hers. And in today's verse, realizing all her fallible condition, realizing that she has attachment to senses, how the Lord is the only person who can give her shelter, and how she has been entrapped by the Maya or the material energy of the Lord because of her false ego. Today she has realized all this in today's verse, and she's saying that, O Lord, I'm taking shelter of your lotus feet. And she is asking the correct things now from Kapila Dev. It's not that the Lord is in front of her, and like, you know, people ask, normally in the material world, people just ask for material benefits from the Supreme Lord. In fact, there was once a survey done. There is, Bombay, there is a big temple called the Prabhadevi Temple. It's a Ganesh temple, and it's a really famous temple. Like on Tuesdays and all, people line up for hours and hours just to take darshan, because Tuesday is considered the day of Lord Ganesh. And once there was a survey done, and it was not done by devotees, it was just done by normal people. And they actually went and questioned everyone who was standing in the line. And they had been standing since hours, like people line up at 4 o'clock in the morning and all to take darshan. And in the survey, they went and asked these people, these Ganesh Bhaktas who were queuing up to take darshan of Lord Ganesh. They went and asked them that, what is it that you are going to ask from Lord Ganesh today? Why are you standing in this queue? And most of the answers that they got was that somebody wanted some material benefit from Lord Ganesha. Somebody wanted some dissipation of some misery which they were in, or somebody had some aspirations which they wanted to fulfill through Lord Ganesha. If not for oneself, someone had aspirations for their own family, like for their children they had come to pray, or for their husband they had come to pray. So everyone had come to pray either for wealth, or for fame, or for position, or for something for their beloved people, or they had come to pray for getting, you know, mitigation from their material miseries. So hardly there was someone who had actually come to say that, no, I have not come to ask anything from Lord Ganesha. I have just come here to express my devotion or my gratitude at least to him for whatever I have been given by Lord Ganesha. So this is what people normally do. When they go in front of the Lord, they always want to ask material benefits. But Devahuti is not doing that. And Devahuti's condition is very comparable to Arjuna's condition before the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna. So Arjuna is also realizing, he was first lamenting his pitiable condition. In fact, Arjuna had given up, as we all know. He had actually given up his bow and arrow. He had laid down his Gandiva bow. And he said that my hand is quivering. The same Arjuna who was actually multidextrous, who could shoot arrows with both hands. He was such an expert fighter and so much expert in the art of archery. But his hand had started shaking and he had put the Gandiva down. He was so confused about what had to be done. And he was then lamenting his pitiable condition, and then he is also taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So just as Lord Kapila Dev is present in front of Devahuti, in the same way Lord Krishna himself was present in front of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And at that time also Lord Arjuna says the same thing which Devahuti says here, that I am now taking shelter of your lotus feet. So in the same way Arjuna also expresses that, oh Lord, I am now taking shelter of you. I am completely confused and I don't know what has to be done in life. But the most important thing is what happens after taking shelter. So as devotees, we also all know the correct things to say to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to our spiritual master. We know the correct things to say. We say, oh, I'm taking shelter of your lotus feet. Please give me shelter at your lotus feet. We know all these correct things to say. But once you take shelter of the lotus feet, what is the meaning of taking shelter of the lotus feet? That means we are ready to accept the instructions which then flow. That is called taking shelter. You are ready to accept, and in whatever form and in whatever way the instructions are given, the devotee is ready to accept those instructions and the devotee is ready to implement those instructions in his life. That is what is called taking real shelter. And in this case, when Kapila Dev starts speaking, he will start speaking a Sankhya philosophy and he will start glorifying the process of devotional service. And that will come in the next few chapters. And Devahuti was ready to accept whatever instruction Kapila Dev says. She is telling here in this verse, she is saying that I am so attached, but you are the only person who can cut this tree of attachment by the axe of knowledge. So you please do that for me, my Lord. I am taking shelter of your lotus feet. So in the same way, Arjuna also did that. Arjuna was ready to accept any instruction which Krishna gives after he had taken shelter. The same Arjuna who never wanted to beg. In fact, in the Mahabharata, it is said that Duryodhan was ready to actually donate the kingdom to the Pandavas. So we all know the pastime, how there was the war between the two brothers, the cousin brothers, and how they were all fighting for this kingdom, which was rightfully the claim of the Pandavas. And Duryodhan was not ready to give them. But Duryodhan had said, if you come begging to me, I will give the entire kingdom to you. But Kshatriyas are very strange people. Kshatriyas, it is not in their blood to beg. So we see that in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime also. His stepmother said that you take birth from my womb and then I will allow you to sit on your father's lap. So when he goes to the forest, Narad Muni tells him that, you are such a young boy, you go back. What is it? Little bit your stepmother has said, why do you have to feel so bad? This is your age to play and all. So Narad Muni tested that, but in that section also, Srila Prabhupada glorifies the qualities of Kshatriyas. Prabhupada says that Kshatriyas cannot bear any insult that is done to them. That is one quality. And the second quality is that Kshatriyas can never beg. So, even though Duryodhan said, if you come begging to me, I will give the entire kingdom to you. But if you come to claim it as your rightful claim, I will not give it to you. And the Pandavas were not ready to go and beg, because they knew it's their rightful claim. That is what is Kshatriya blood. They will fight and they will take, but they will never beg. But in this situation, when Arjuna saw on the battlefield his whole family and his own guru and everyone standing in front of him, he puts his bow down and he's telling Krishna that, oh Krishna, I'm ready to live by begging, but I don't want to fight this war. So the same Pandavas who are not ready to beg from Duryodhana their kingdom is now ready to go and live in the forest, and he's saying, I'll survive on begging rather than killing all my kith and kin. So this is how Kshatriyas are, and he was so confused. So he lays his bow down and he also takes shelter, like we see Devahuti taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then both of them are ready to follow the instructions which follow after that. So once in this connection, one Srila Prabhupada called Shrutakirti Prabhu to his room. And Prabhupada was holding a picture of Bhagavad Gita, the cover picture where, you know, Krishna is instructing Arjuna. And, you know, in the inside the Bhagavad Gita also there are pictures of Arjuna fighting and Krishna standing behind. So Prabhupada calls Shrutakirti Prabhu to his room. Shrutakirti Prabhu was his secretary at that time. And Prabhupada shows the picture of Arjuna fighting and Krishna standing behind on the chariot. And Prabhupada asks Shrutakirti Prabhu. Prabhupada says that, what do you see here? So Shrutakirti Prabhu was very confused what to answer because he didn't know what Prabhupada was expecting for him to say. So Shrutakirti Prabhu says, yeah, I can see Arjuna fighting. And then Prabhupada says that it is not easy to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. It is not easy to surrender to Lord Krishna, to take shelter and then to accept whatever instructions Lord Krishna will give. He says that, look at this situation. Arjuna said, I'm taking shelter of you, O my Lord. And then what instructions did Krishna give him? Krishna, the same people with whom Arjuna did not want to fight, because of which he had laid down his bow, and because of whom he was ready to go and beg in the forest for his entire life, I will live on begging, he was saying. The same people Krishna is now instructing Arjuna to kill. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, here is Bhishma, your grandfather, go and kill him. And he is giving him ways and means on how to kill. He is devising the strategies, how Arjuna can kill his grandfather. Krishna is showing, here is Dronacharya, your guru, go and kill him. And again he is giving him strategies on how Dronacharya can be killed. Ashwatthama was actually a very good friend of Arjuna. And he is telling that, here is Ashwatthama, go and kill him now. So in the same way, Krishna is giving instructions to Arjuna to actually kill all the people who were so dear to Arjuna in his life and whom he had always reverence for. So Arjuna is, you know, when he took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he said, I'm confused, I surrender unto you, now you tell me what I have to do. This is what Krishna told Arjuna to do. And at that time Arjuna did not, you know, fight back. No, no, Krishna, how can you tell me to do this? How can you tell? Or he did not try to reason with Krishna that, no, no, can we little bit modify this instruction which you are giving in this way? No. Full surrender means accepting the instructions of the spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead as it is. And that is why Prabhupada has named the Bhagavad Gita also as it is. Because he did not modify the Supreme Personality of Godhead's instructions at all. So Arjuna is ready to accept any instruction which Krishna is giving him, and he actually killed his near and dear ones, whom he had so much love for. He actually followed Krishna's instructions and he killed them. And that is what is called taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada explained this to Shrutakirti Prabhu and he said that, so you see, it is not easy to be a devotee of Lord Krishna. You have to accept whatever Lord Krishna says and you have to implement that in your life. Now you can go back to your room. That is how Srila Prabhupada gave that instruction to Shrutakirti Prabhu. So we see in today's world, people are actually trying to, you know, take Krishna's instructions, which are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. But people are not ready to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People are rejecting the person who spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but people want the knowledge which is there in Bhagavad Gita. And that knowledge also, because they are rejecting the person who spoke the Bhagavad Gita, they are not able to implement that knowledge. Because you want the energy, but you don't want the source of the energy in your life. So in this connection, one Srila Prabhupada was invited to a Gita conference. And that was in a place called Wardha in India. And you know all these different groups, or like Pandurang Shastri, Athavale or Swadhyay groups and all, they organize some Gita conferences. So there was a similar Gita conference where Srila Prabhupada was invited to speak. Because they knew Prabhupada is a devotee of Lord Krishna. So when Srila Prabhupada went over there, Prabhupada saw that there was a big lamp as soon as you enter. And lots of, wicks were there which they had lit, and a very nice atmosphere they had tried to create, lots of flowers around the lamp and all. But Srila Prabhupada looked around and there was not a single picture of Lord Krishna anywhere. Neither there was a picture of Arjuna. So Srila Prabhupada called one of the organizers and Prabhupada asked the organizer, Prabhupada says that, where is the picture of Lord Krishna? He is the one who spoke Bhagavad Gita. You all are organizing a Gita conference and where is the picture of Lord Krishna? And that organizer said that, we are not concerned with who spoke the Bhagavad Gita. We are more concerned about the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. And that is what we are trying to propagate over here. And that is why we have not kept a picture of Lord Krishna, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who spoke the Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada was so upset. Prabhupada said that this is actually bogus. Bogus philosophy which you all are propagating, and this is called as Mayavad philosophy. That you are rejecting the personality of Godhead, but you want to take the knowledge. And obviously, we know that there are many versions of Bhagavad Gita where they have completely twisted the knowledge which has been given. And that is because people don't want to accept that there is a personality of Godhead who has actually spoken the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada very openly expressed his displeasure at not having a picture of Krishna in the Gita conference. So we see over here, coming back to today's verse, Devahuti is doing the correct thing. Like Arjuna, she is happy to accept whatever instructions will now follow. And she knows also what to ask from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that she is asking for any material enjoyment, or she is asking that, oh, you know, something else, my husband has left home and gone away because Kardama Muni had gone away, so I'm feeling so lonely, I wish he comes back. No. She is also trying to, you know, attain the platform which her husband had attained. So there are three correct things, if we analyze the translation, there are three correct things which Devahuti is asking. The first thing Devahuti is asking is about attachment. So Devahuti knows that attachment between the opposite sex is the cause of bondage in this material world. Because Devahuti is saying, if you see the translation, she is saying that, and I inquire from you as to the relationship between man and woman and between spirit and matter. So Devahuti knows that, you know, the attachment between man and woman is what is the binding principle in this material world. And Devahuti herself had experienced that. In previous chapters, we had seen a few chapters ago that Devahuti, how she had served her husband very nicely, but then she wanted to enjoy with her husband. And just to facilitate the enjoyment with her of his wife, Kardamumuni, because of his mystic power, had created an aerial mansion, and so much opulence he had given in that mansion. There were maid servants, there were beautiful ponds where she could take bath. So much of opulence, and that mansion could fly to different exotic locations, not only in the world, but in the planet, but even in the universe they could fly. So she had enjoyed so much, and she realized how binding the attachment between a man and woman could be. So that is the first thing, the correct thing she is asking from Kapila Dev. That I know that attachment between man and woman is the most binding thing in this material world. So can you please kindly explain how to give up that attachment between man and woman? And Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not the first time that this is mentioned. Srimad Bhagavatam keeps reiterating this point. So in the third canto, 31st chapter it will come, there is a very important verse which talks about this principle. It says, Na tathasya bhaven moho bandhaschanya prasangataha yoshit sangat yatha pumso yatha tat sangi sangataha. The translation is, the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman. So any object which we have attachment for is not as complete as the attachment between a man and woman, or the fellowship of men who are actually fond of women. And in that purport, Prabhupada actually warns. Prabhupada says that the bondage to a woman, you know, through knowledge, if you get a good spiritual master, the right spiritual master, he can try and cut off that bondage between man and woman. Or we can translate that bondage and, you know, keep Krishna in the center and serve Krishna together. However, for people who are attached to men, who are actually attached to women, it is very hard for them to give it up. Because those men who are attached to women, if you have association of such people, they will always keep you entangled in that attachment to women. Like Prabhupada says, if you want to become a drunkard, what do? You have association of a drunkard. He will, in no time, he will make you also a drunkard. Because those qualities of the drunkard will rub on you. It's very contagious. Attachment and association of people is very contagious. And in the same way, if you are associating with a man who is attached to women, it is going to rub on you. And it is going to then make you attached to women in turn. And therefore, Prabhupada always says, be very, very careful of asatsang tyage vaishnavachar. Be very careful of non-devotee association, because that is going to keep you entangled in this material world. So even in the fifth canto, in Rishabhdev's teachings also, Rishabhdev is warning his sons. He's saying, again one more verse on attachment between man and woman. He's saying, Pumsas triya mithuni bhavametam, tayor mito ridaya granthi mahum. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitter, janasya moho yam aham mameti. So there Rishabhdev is saying, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. The same thing which Devahuti is mentioning over here. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to this body, home, property, children, relatives and wealth. And that is exactly what everyone was praying for in that queue in, you know, the Ganpati temple where the survey was done. Everyone was praying for either their own health, so they are attached to their body, or their home, oh, I have come to pray because I want to buy a new house. So I have come to pray to Lord Ganesha, somehow you arrange for me to buy a new house. Or people have come to pray for their children. So we see that it is the attachment between man and woman, Hridaya Granthi Mahum. It, you know, becomes a very, very unremovable knot in the heart. And then it extends to body, family, wealth, children, relatives. All these things are extensions of the attachment between a man and woman. So in this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. That is what Rishabhdev is warning to his children. So many times we keep seeing this, you know, that attachment between man and woman, give up the attachment between man and woman. It is the basic principle which is keeping people entangled in this material world. We see this being reiterated throughout the Bhagavatam. And that is the first thing which Devahuti is asking. It's the correct thing which Devahuti is asking of Lord Kapila Dev. The second correct thing which Devahuti is asking in this verse is that she is seeking detachment. Most of the people who go to the Lord, like we saw in the Ganpati temple queue, they are actually asking for enjoyment. How they can increase their enjoyment and how they can be happy by some of their relatives being happy or by some of their health being good or they getting some wealth. So always it is about getting their own enjoyment in this material world. But Devahuti is actually seeking the opposite of enjoyment. She knows that enjoyment in this material world is going to keep her entrapped in the material world. So she is asking for detachment. So detachment she is asking for, and Prabhupada talks about elaborately about Purusha and Prakriti in the translation. And in the purport, Prabhupada talks about Purusha and Prakriti. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the 13th chapter, 22nd verse, Krishna is talking about the same thing. Krishna is saying, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhungte Prakriti Jangunan, Karanam Guna Sangasya, Sat Asad Yoni Janmashu. So the translation is, the living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes. So he is talking about how everyone is trying to be the Purusha. And Prabhupada also said that in the translation. Prabhupada said that everyone is trying to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead by being Purushas, by being enjoyers themselves of this material nature. So the living entity in the material nature follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes, and this is due to his association with that material nature. And what happens because of that? Because of that, a living entity meets with good and evil among various species. So it's not that, you know, you will be able to just keep enjoying as in the human form of life. Through this verse, Krishna is warning that you will actually, if you have this enjoying tendency and you want to be the Purusha, you want to imitate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, go and do it in every species of life. So depending on how a devotee, how a person conducted himself, he could actually go down. He could actually then be in trying to enjoy as a tiger, trying to enjoy as a pig, like we saw in Indra's pastime. You know, he was made a pig and then he was enjoying himself. He did not want to come out of that pig body. And then, you know, he had to be shown a picture that tomorrow you're going to be killed. And that's when he realized and he said, okay, I'll go back to my position as Indra. So that is how we become. We become Purushas. We keep trying to enjoy. In any species of life, we are trying to seek enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment. And Devahuti is realizing that. And therefore, she is seeking detachment. She is asking the Lord, oh my Lord, please give me detachment from this world. Now, in our case, in the living, in this material world, actually, even attachment and detachment, we do this based on our convenience. If it is convenient for us, we want to be detached. If it is convenient for us, we want to be attached in this world. So there also we seek enjoyment. If it gives me enjoyment, I will be detached. But if it gives me enjoyment, I will be attached. But this is not the philosophy which Krishna is talking in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is not the philosophy which Lord Kapila will now say in the Sankhya philosophy. And in this connection, there was one devotee who was actually visiting a village. They were doing preaching in villages in India. And this devotee went to a family where he wanted to go and distribute the Bhagavad Gita and give some knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. And there was an old lady, she was a widow, and she had two sons. And this old lady was completely disgusted with life. So she was telling this devotee her life story. She was saying that, first of all, she was bedridden because she had broken her back. And she was telling this devotee that I have two sons. One of the son is married and he has his wife. he and his wife are always fighting with each other, or they both are fighting with me, like how the mother should not be in the house, or the brothers are fighting because of some property. Every time the brothers are fighting. And she said, once the fight became so intense between the two brothers, and I went and tried to stop the two brothers from fighting. And they pushed me. One of the brothers pushed me to get me out of the way. And I fell down and I broke my back because of that. And she said that I'm so disgusted with this existence where my sons are fighting, my son and daughter-in-law is fighting. And every time the atmosphere is so bad in the house, always fight, 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 that I really don't want to live anymore. So she had somehow saved some rupees under her pillow. So she takes that money out and she gives to this devotee. And she tells him that you are such a nice devotee of Lord Krishna. Can you please take this money and give it in the temple? But the only prayer you should do for me is that I give up this material body very soon. I don't want to live. So we see that, you know, this lady, it's good to be disgusted. In fact, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that unless one is disgusted with their material body and unless one is disgusted with their surroundings, one will not take the instructions of the spiritual master or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead seriously. We will not do that. If we are happy, very happy and comfortably placed in spiritual life, even in spiritual life, we will not take instructions or we will not take spiritual life seriously. So it's good to be disgusted. But in this case, we are seeing the lady was not, the detachment from her family had not come automatically because of bhakti. The detachment had come because it was not allowing her to live peacefully and enjoy her life. And that is why she wanted detachment from her family. So, you know, in our case, we always want that convenience. We want to be detached if it's convenient for us. We want to be attached if it's convenient for us. But that is not what Devahuti is talking about. Devahuti realizes she is in a comfortable position. Her husband had given her a nice mansion to live. She has the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son. So why does she want to be detached? But she is realizing that attachment in this world will not allow her to, you know, surrender to the Supreme Lord and take to the path of devotional service. And therefore she is seeking detachment from the Lord in the same way that Arjuna did. Not that it is convenient, so I'll be attached, or it's convenient, then I'll be detached from this world. And then the third correct thing which Devahuti is doing over here in this section is that she is approaching the right person for getting the knowledge. So she has not gone to some bogus Baba. Like in India we see people, you know, they little bit awakening of the, is there of spiritual life, and then they go to a bogus Baba because there are so many false spiritual masters in the world, in India especially. So she is approaching the right person, Bhagavat, for solution. So she knows that he is a spiritually realized soul, and she knows that only such a person can give understanding of the highest dharma. She knows that here is a spiritually realized soul, he is a person, Bhagavat, who is not only a person, Bhagavat, but also the Supreme Lord, and he can only give me the highest understanding of dharma. So in the previous few verses, in the 23rd chapter also, when Devahuti, Kardama Muni was about to leave home, and Devahuti was lamenting, like she was very upset that Kardama Muni was going to leave home. So she was lamenting that I did not get any self-realization, and now I'll be left alone and you'll be gone. So at that time also she says a beautiful verse to Kardama Muni. She says, Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirthapada sevaya jivan api mrito hisa. So she says that anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life. So anyone whose work which does not elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation. So in India we see big yagyas people conduct. Oh, we have this puja in our house, we have that puja in our house. So much we see so-called religiosity people try to follow, the pious people try to follow. It's good in a way, at least it's not like the Western culture where people don't even believe in all these things. But here she is saying that anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation. So there has to be detachment which comes when you do all these pious activities of performing pujas or yagyas or anything. And anyone situated in renunciation, and there are many renunciates in India, the Mayavadis, they are also renunciates. They are actually detached from their body. But she was saying to Kardama Muni, anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he is breathing. So this is a very important verse which Devahuti had spoken to Kardama Muni, and she knows that, and therefore she is approaching the right person to get the highest understanding of dharma. So in her case, the Bhagavat person who was sitting in front of her was Lord Krishna himself, Lord in the form of Kapila Dev. And similarly for us, Like she had Lord Kapila speak to her, and she had Lord Kapila to give her instructions. And we all, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, are so fortunate that we had Lord, the Lord himself come as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us similar instructions which Kapila Dev will now give to Devahuti. So Lord Chaitanya descended to also teach us detachment, like Devahuti is asking for detachment, but not detachment just on the mundane platform, or like Mayavadis are detached. He also came to teach us detachment, but through Bhakti Yoga. That is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach us. So in addition to that, he also gave us the highest love. He actually opened up the treasure of love, and he did not see any qualifications. He did not see if a person should receive that love or no. He just distributed that love of Godhead to everyone. So like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position, it is mentioned in the Madhya Leela. He says that Vairagya Vidya Nijabhakti Yoga Shikshartham Ekam Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Budhiryas Tamaham Prapadye. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is saying, let me take shelter of Lord Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya to teach us real knowledge, Vidya, Vairagya Vidya, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness in us. So Vairagya Vidya Nijabhakti Yoga. Lord Chaitanya came to actually teach us Vairagya, which is detachment from this world, and Vidya, to give us the knowledge which will then, Nijabhakti Yoga, which will then give us the highest love for Krishna through devotional service unto Lord Krishna. And that is how Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is glorifying Lord Chaitanya's position. So Lord Chaitanya came to give us the Yuga Dharma. How did he propagate? How did he give this treasure of love to us? By giving us the Yuga Dharma, which was the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada is talking about that Dharma in today's translation. He is talking about Sat Dharma. What is the meaning of Sat Dharma? Prabhupada says that sometimes people translate Dharma as religion. In India also we see so many people, oh, I follow Jain Dharma, I follow Muslim Dharma. You know, people talk about Dharma as if it is, you know, the meaning of Dharma is religion. But Prabhupada, even in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said, and in today's purport also Prabhupada is explaining, that Dharma does not mean religion, but Dharma is the intrinsic nature of a person, or the intrinsic nature of an object. Prabhupada gives the example of sugar in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says that the intrinsic nature of sugar is sweetness. And in today's purport, Prabhupada talks about fire. Prabhupada says the intrinsic nature of fire is warmth or heat. You cannot take it out. Wherever there is fire, there will be warmth and heat. Or wherever there is sugar, there is going to be sweetness. You cannot extract that intrinsic nature out of that object. So that is what is called as dharma. So the dharma of a human being, or sorry, a living entity, a dharma of a jiva is actually loving Krishna. So Prabhupada says that the love for the Lord is already there in our heart, but because of our enjoying mentality and because of our association with the three modes of material nature, we have forgotten that that is our intrinsic dharma, or that is our nitya dharma. And if we see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur glorifies that in Jaiva Dharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about three dharmas. He says that there is anitya dharma. Now what does anitya dharma mean? Anitya dharma is actually the atheists who don't want to follow any dharma at all, who actually reject that there is a supreme lord and there is someone whose shelter has to be taken. So they don't follow any process, they don't follow even that there is a supreme personality of Godhead. So that is called anitya dharma. The second one is naimitika dharma, which is higher than nitya dhharma. Naimitika dharma is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains as a person who is not atheistic. He is realizing that there is a higher authority. He is realizing that yes, there is someone who is, you know, conducting the affairs of this material world. But he is not realizing that it is Bhakti Yoga which is the means to attain. So the process this person tries to follow in Naimitika Dharma is Karma or Jnana or Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. These are some of the processes which these people try to follow. They try to achieve the Supreme through Karma or Jnana or Yoga. And that is called as the Naimitika Dharma, as mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma. And then the last dharma which Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about is Nitya Dharma. Now Nitya Dharma is the same as what Prabhupada is talking about as Sat Dharma in today's purport. So Sat Dharma or Nitya Dharma is what is the intrinsic nature of a living entity, and which is to love Krishna through devotional service unto him. So these are the three dharmas, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us the highest dharma, the Yuga Dharma of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Now we see she is talking about detachment, she is talking about, you know, coming out of the attachment which she has, how she doesn't want to have this enjoying mentality. So if we see the highest Varnashrama Dharma which we follow, it's in its pure form, it's actually all about Vairagya, it is also giving up detachment. But Srila Prabhupada and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always propagated that how living in this material world, we still can practice devotional service through regulated sense enjoyment. Prabhupada also always talked about that. So normally material enjoyment and spiritual life go ill together. And Prabhupada keeps reiterating that point. Even when Lord Brahma was meditating and he was, you know, when he was on the lotus flower and he did not know what to do, he was confused. And at that time, the waves of the Garbhodaka ocean, which were splashing against the stem of the lotus, the waves were telling him the message of tapa, tapa. That's the word he heard. And then he realized that he has to do tapasya. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says, he says that spiritual advancement and material enjoyment go ill together. So, you know, it's like keeping your legs on both boats. One boat, we are having spiritual enjoyment, and in the other boat, we are trying to advance in spiritual life. And in one boat, we are having material enjoyment. But that will not go anywhere. And there is a very nice story which most of us know, when, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written about that story. He says that once there was a marriage party. And this marriage party, after the marriage was over, they had to go from, you know, from the girl's place where the marriage was conducted. The entire procession then had to go. The girl, how she leaves her home and goes back to her husband's house to live. So the marriage party had to go across a river. And they had to go on the other side of the river where the husband's home was there. So the marriage party sits in the boat, and the boatman actually starts rowing the boat. And it was a night journey, so everyone goes to sleep. And when they wake up in the morning, they realize that they are still on the same side of the bank. The boat has not moved only from there. And then they realize that the boatman was rowing the whole night, but they had forgotten to take off the anchor, which was actually keeping the boat in the place on the bank. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, using this analogy, he says that we may try in our devotional life to advance, to actually, you know, become spiritually realized, to advance in our spiritual, in our Krishna consciousness. But if our anchor is very strong, it's very steeped in material enjoyment, so, you know, like the boatman was continuously rowing, it will be very hard for us to advance in spiritual life. So that is what is even discussed about here. Devahuti knows that material enjoyment and spiritual advancement will go ill together. And therefore she is asking for detachment. But it is very hard for us to completely give up whatever we have been doing. And therefore Prabhupada always talks about regulation. And even Lord Krishna talks about regulation. And what does the Bhagavatam propagate? Bhagavatam propagates that it is sometimes hard on our own endeavor to give up material enjoyment or some of the conditioning we might have, some of the attachments we might have. It's very hard to give up. So then the Bhagavatam says that continue doing your devotional service, continue, you know, following the path which has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to give us two paths, Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Dharma. So continue following both these paths, which will then help you to advance in your spiritual life, and automatically you will be able to start giving up or losing the taste for material enjoyment. Like we know, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. So if we continue on the path of devotional service, Vairagya will also automatically come, and detachment will also automatically come. So we have to just be sincere, like we are seeing Devahuti over here expressing her sincerity to progress in her spiritual life. We also have to be sincere, follow the instructions which Lord Krishna is giving us in the Bhagavad Gita, which Lord Kapila Dev will now give us in the form of Sankhya philosophy. So follow the instructions of a spiritual master, follow the instructions of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And if we are sincere in our endeavors to advance in spiritual life, Krishna will actually remove the taste for material enjoyment from our life. Krishna will then start giving us the higher taste, by which we can start losing this lower taste, and then we can actually get detachment from whatever conditioning we had, and we can then start to become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the message which she has come to give over here. And I'll just conclude. In this process, actually, then the Lord Himself helps us. If we are sincere, the Lord will come to help us, to give us detachment. The Lord will come to help us to, you know, uproot that anchor which we always had. And like I was mentioning, Dhruv Maharaj's pastime. So we see in his case, what did he want? Why had he gone to the forest? He had gone to the forest and he did this, very, very difficult tapasya. His tapasya was so hard and at such a high level that the entire air in the universe went away. And the demigods started feeling suffocated. And they then approached Lord Vishnu and told him that there is this little boy who is doing tapasya. Please go and stop him, because the air of the universe has gone away. He has sucked in all the air. Because at the last stage of his Ashtanga Yoga, which Dhruv Maharaj was practicing, he actually sucks all the, he closes all the 9 holes in the body and he sucks all the air in. So it is mentioned the entire air in the universe actually got sucked in. And the demigod started feeling restless. So such high tapasya he was doing, but what was the goal that he wanted to achieve? The goal he wanted to achieve, because he was Kshatriya, he said that my stepmother has insulted me and she won't allow me to get the throne or sit on my father's lap. I want a kingdom which is greater than my grandfather. And his grandfather was Lord Brahma. So a kingdom greater than Brahma. Now Brahma is the, sort of the king of the entire material universe. He has created this material universe. So what greater thing can he get than that? But his aspiration was that. And when he gets darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as soon as he gets darshan of the Lord, he realizes. So because he was a sincere devotee, the Lord helped him to get detached from whatever aspiration, material desire that he had. And then he himself prays. He tells the Lord that I was looking for pieces of glass. Getting a kingdom greater than my grandfather was actually, looking for pieces of glass when actually there is a diamond available for me. Because the darshan of the Lord and following the process which his spiritual master Narad Muni had given him, that process purified his heart and therefore he had completely become detached from the same goal for which he started doing that whole process. And then the Lord actually blesses him. So the Lord is so merciful. He gave him detachment. He helped him, come out of this enjoying mentality that I should have a kingdom greater than the Lord Brahma. But at the same time, the Lord fulfilled that desire also by giving him the Dhruv planet. So many examples are there in the Bhagavatam where the Lord himself comes to help us. If we are sincere in our bhakti, in the process of devotional service, the Lord will give us that detachment. So just summarizing, we are talking about Devahuti over here today and how Devahuti in this verse, this is the last verse which Devahuti is speaking, before which Kapila Dev will start speaking the Sankhya philosophy. And Devahuti is taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet, and she is asking for she is doing 3 correct things in this process. She knows attachment between man and woman is the highest attachment, so she is asking for detachment from that. She also is asking for detachment from material enjoyment. She knows that detachment is the way which will allow her to advance in spiritual life. And she is approaching the right person. She is not looking at her son as a mundane jiva, but she knows that her son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how it is important to derive benefit when you have the association of such an elevated personality to ask the right sort of things from this personality. So these are the 3 correct things she is doing, and not that she is merely doing lip service by taking shelter. Oh, I take your shelter, my Lord. She is ready to follow the instructions which the Lord gives, like Arjuna also followed the instructions. And Prabhupada says that a true devotee who takes shelter of the Lord should follow the instructions of the Lord when they come as it is, or the spiritual master's instructions, without trying to dilute them or without trying to reason around them. And we see Devahuti setting an example for that. So it's time up. We'll end the class here. If there's any questions, corrections or comments. Who? Kshatriyas. So the question is that how do we realize that what Kshatriyas are doing when we said that they don't like to beg? How do we realize that it's their ego which is not making them beg? Because if the Pandavas would have accepted the kingdom, it would have saved many lives. So with Kshatriyas, we have to realize, Prabhuji, that their nature is different. And every section has been given a different nature. So we know that there are Kshatriyas, there are the 4 Varnas and the Ashramas, which have been created by Lord Krishna, and every Varna and Ashrama has been given their own nature. Now, Kshatriyas have this nature, that is true, And why they couldn't have begged, like, you know, have the kingdom if Duryodhan was ready to give them as charity and then lived off them? Because there is a plan of the Lord in this case. Now, if they would have accepted that charity which Duryodhan was ready to give, Krishna says, yada yada hi dharmasya gyanir bhavati bhavata, and he always comes whenever there is a rise in irreligion, he comes to actually destroy the miscreants and he comes to establish dharma. So in this case, Krishna had come to actually eradicate all the irreligious people who were there in the world who were actually propagating adharma. And Duryodhan was an emblem, he was a symbol of adharma which was there in this world. So if the Kshatriyas would have accepted charity from them, then how would he have got rid of people who are, you know, trying to propagate adharma? There would have been no war, like you said, and they would have been, you know, Krishna wouldn't have been able to use the Pandavas as an instrument to get rid of Duryodhana and all the adharmic people who were giving Duryodhan's, like they were giving saath, they were giving support to Duryodhan in that endeavor. So that is why, in fact, if we see, actually Krishna went as a peace messenger. So he also did not want this war to happen. So he went as a peace messenger and he said, divide the kingdom, give them some villages, because Kshatriyas, as I said, every Varna and Ashrama has been given an intrinsic nature. And for Kshatriyas, their intrinsic nature is to rule. That is why they are called as Kshatriyas. They have to rule, they have to protect, they have to administer, and they have to conduct a kingdom. So Krishna went and said, it is their nature to rule, give them 5 villages, let them rule 5 villages. But though no peace message was being accepted, and that's when Krishna decided that, you know, we have to get rid of these adharmic principles. And therefore, we see that he did not allow, you know, that begging or that charity to happen. So that is one aspect of why we understand that it is not ego, but it is their intrinsic nature which did not allow them to accept that charity. Because then Krishna wouldn't have been able to use the Pandavas as an instrument to get rid of Duryodhana and his adharmic supporters.
Thank you very much for the very nice lecture. In the first line of the translation, the shelter of the lotus feet. Why particularly lotus feet is so important?
Prabhuji, you are already realized, so how do I answer that question? But yes, Krishna's lotus feet, when we say shelter of the lotus feet, we see that Krishna actually gives shelter through his lotus feet. Now, if we talk even about Vamandev's pastime, when Lord Krishna came as Vamandev, we see that he begged for charity from Bali Maharaj. And after he had taken 2 steps, you know, he asked, where do I put the third step? And Bali Maharaj said that, put your, you know, lotus feet on my head, and that will be, that is the place I'm giving you to put your third step. And we see that Bali Maharaj is glorified as, you know, giving everything to Lord Krishna. So because Lord Krishna, he gave his head and his entire body to put Lord Krishna's feet, that means he took shelter of lotus feet. Even literally he took shelter. We say that we are taking shelter, but he physically also took shelter. He was under the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev. So, and that is why Bali Maharaj is glorified as, you know, being the highest emblem of Atmanivedanam, where he actually took shelter of the lotus feet. So it is mentioned that devotees take shelter of the lotus feet because it is through the lotus feet of the Lord that devotees get the highest realization of achieving the Supreme Lord. That is my realization, and that is why they should take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. But sorry, we on the other side? That's very true, Prabhuji, and that is the situation of most of the aspiring devotees. So that is what Prabhupada was telling when he called Shrutakirti Prabhu. He said it is so hard to be a devotee of Krishna, that accepting Krishna's plan as it is in our life. So most of us are actually not ready. We are not at that stage where of Devahuti or of Arjuna, where we are ready to accept Krishna's instructions as it is. Most of us go and pray to Krishna, but we have that but always associated with our prayers. So, and that is why we always, read the prayers which other devotees have offered. Now, if you see Kunti Maharani's prayers in the first canto when Krishna was about to leave this material, he was about to leave, they had all won the kingdom, he was about to leave Hastinapur and go back to Dwarka. At that time, Kunti comes and prays to Lord Krishna. And she is saying that, we know the famous verses which she sings, that let the difficulties come again and again, because when the difficulties are there, we are taking more and more shelter of you. And when, situation gets good, we don't take shelter of you. So these are all very high prayers which we cannot imitate. And we should not even imitate. Prabhupada always says that Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayor Das 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 Anudas. We always follow in the footsteps. But we never imitate whatever, great devotees are doing. So when we read all these prayers of Kapila Dev, of, we see example, when we see prayers of Devahuti, when we see examples like Arjuna or Kunti Maharani, we are having that ideal which we keep in our heart, or that aspiration that one day I want to pray like they are praying. But right now Krishna knows, he is there in our heart. So even if we try to pray like them, but in our heart he knows, oh Krishna, whatever is fine. But in our heart we are saying, oh let this happen, let that happen. So Krishna is already there in our heart and he knows whatever is going on in our heart. So it is better to be honest with Krishna, because he anyways knows what is there in our heart. And it is better to pray at a level to which we have spiritually advanced. So Prabhupada in fact says in one of the verses that our purity and spiritual advancement go together. So if we are trying, sometimes devotees take big vows, when especially Kartik month is coming up, and we take big vows, I'll do this, I'll do that. Or if we go to a holy dham, we take some vows and come. But it is very hard to sustain those vows if there is not enough purity backing those vows. So we might take, oh, I'm going up this, I'm not going to do this anymore at all, I'm not going to, so many things we resolve during Kartik month or when we go to the holy dham. But, our vows are like, Pani mein likha hai, we write in the water. It's so difficult to keep up the determination and to keep up those vows. That is because there is not enough purity backing up those vows. So Prabhupada says that pray and be at a level where your purity is, because then you will be able to sustain it. So even when we take vows or when we pray, we actually do it as much as our purity and our advancement is. So we don't pray beyond our level in Krishna consciousness. So it's okay if we do like that, because that is our level, but we always keep the highest standard in mind that, oh, this is what I have to one day achieve, I have to aspire for, and that will give us the impetus to slowly then come to that standard. It was his plan, he went as a peacemaker, and it is all. It's more of a comment, I feel. Mataji is saying that Krishna knew, it was the Lord's plan. He knew that even though he goes as a peacemaker, Duryodhan is not going to accept. So he will, anyway, the war is going to take place, and that is the purpose of the Lord, that the war takes place and he can get rid of all adharma from this earth. So just to add to that, it is the Lord's plan, obviously, because he knows what's going on. He's omnipotent. But also it was to mitigate future blames that might come. So in Kali Yuga, we also see that so many people say that y'all are worshipping a god who propagated war. Like actually there are people who, blame devotees. That how can you worship a lord who was, propagating war? He actually incited. Arjuna was ready to beg, but he incited him to fight. How can y'all worship such a lord? So at that time, devotees can always say that no, he did not actually want the war to take place. He went as a peace messenger. He wanted peace. But, Duryodhan did not agree for peace, and that is why the war had to take place. So it is also to take care of that aspect. It helps devotees in telling others that Krishna wanted peace, but the other people were not ready for that peace message. Exactly, exactly. That they won't blame Lord Krishna for doing that.
Yeah. Okay. The same pastor Dattamuni tells that
take shelter of lotus feet. That's why lotus feet of Krishna are glorified. Meenakshi Mataji, can I ask, answer your question later? Because it's time up. We'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.